This part of your nighttime routine could be confusing your brain and throwing your body's internal regulation out of whack. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, back in a moment to shed light on a health issue involving light.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Do you scroll on social media for an hour or two before bed? If you do, the artificial light from your phone is mixing up your brain's master clock, the command center that controls hormone release and activates your organs. Screens before bed change the way your body handles blood sugar, increasing the risk of diabetes. It also increases brain inflammation, which can lead to both depression and anxiety. So, plug in your phone to charge out of reach of your bed at least an hour before you plan to go to sleep, and resist the urge to touch it until morning. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email alternative that keeps you safe.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger, and they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Katherine Albrecht here. This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show, where lately I've been just keeping people apprised of all the developments, all the things happening, and a couple of things happening that I want to bring to your notice. One of them I've talked about a couple of times on the show, and I think I just need to fill you in and let you know what has been happening with artificial intelligence. There's so much happening lately with artificial intelligence. It's not like there's anything, I don't know, is there anything new under the sun? It certainly feels as though there is new stuff under the sun. I mean, I most definitely have that sense in terms of what's happening. But, of course, the Bible tells us there is nothing new under the sun, that, everything that has been happening kind of reflects a heart, a theme, something that has been going on before. And before I get into that, I was reading about when Jesus was in the wilderness today. I've been doing devotions. All right, well, let me put this in order. Let me talk about the importance of doing devotions. So for years and years, I have heard other Christian families, other wonderful Christian brothers and sisters talking about doing their devotions every morning. And I would say probably 10 years ago, started a habit that when I first woke up and opened my eyes to see how quickly upon becoming conscious, and you know, the first couple of moments, like, where am I? What day is it? What am I doing? Who am I? In acknowledging the Lord in just acknowledging, thank you, this is the day you've made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Be with me this day. I acknowledge you. Thank you so much for getting me through another night and the start of a new day. And just doing a prayer. Be with me today and guide and lead and use me and those sorts of things. So I've been doing that pretty consistently for about 10 years. And when it comes to reading my Bible, of course, regular listeners know that I've been getting all kinds of scripture into my head from Project of Love. There are also lots of other really fantastic artists, if he's not your style, who have put scripture to music so that the music you listen to is that's repeating in your head while you're washing dishes or driving the car, mowing the lawn, the earworm that is in your head is actually the word of the Lord. And it makes it a lot easier to meditate on his law and on his word day and night, to have it just in your head playing automatically. So I've been doing that. Let me give you one more group, if you can add this to the Project of Love. It's called Sons of Korah, K-O-R-A-H. I found them on Spotify. Actually, I really like them. I don't know that anyone's ever going to take the place in my heart that Xander Stoke has with Project of Love, because I just think he's amazing. But I've really been enjoying the music from Sons of Korah. So I'm going to see if I can introduce some of that into some upcoming shows, maybe starting next week, so you can listen to some other artists. There's also plenty of women. You can find this sort of music if you look up scripture music or scripture set to music. You can find plenty of other artists that might be more in line with your particular musical aesthetic. I know that some of them do almost rhythm and blues, R&B kind of funky stuff. Others do much more sort of church hymn, kind of music. But whatever your style is, there's probably something out there to where the music you're listening to, at least in your own time, like you can't control what's playing in the, you know, at the gym or playing at the store or playing in other places you go, but at least the music you select to have around yourself could be scripture. But aside from that, the actual discipline of sitting down and reading my Bible, I know, I think at one point or another, I've read the whole Bible. I've never actually embarked on a project to read it from one end to the other. I know I need to. But I have found with these devotions, I was like, what are they doing? What do you mean you're doing devotions? And I have bought books before that I did with my kids. We had a Billy Graham devotional. We had, because we actually visited the Billy Graham Museum on a road trip once, and we bought the devotional. I've gotten other devotionals and just made various attempts to do it, and none of them have really kind of clicked. So anyway, my point is, or what I'm leading up to, is that I'm actually developing that discipline now, and I'm developing it thanks to Pastor Anthony. He's actually been sending me his devotions, and it is like, I think like 4 passages a day. It's short. Today we are in Luke 4, I think, today, and it has been a real blessing. If I'm in my car and I don't have a lot of time, I know I need to sit down and just open my Bible in the morning, but sometimes I'm jumping up out of the bed and, you know, letting the dog out to pee and doing all those things, and by the time I've realized what I'm doing, it's like, sit down. I know I should. I need the discipline. But instead, what I have been doing fits a little bit more with my lifestyle, and that is, I made a bookmark on my phone for one of the many wonderful Bible websites out there that have all the different translations for their audio page. So they'll have King James and ESV and NIV and all these other ones, but they'll also have a page on a lot of these where they will have an audio Bible, and you can put in the passage. So for today, I listened to Luke 4 as I was in the car. And in fact, I found it interesting enough that I listened to it probably 4 or 5 times. It is 5 minutes long in my audio Bible, so it was short. I had a 25-minute drive, so I listened to it like 3 times. If you are not doing devotions, if you're not actually following along with the discipline, and I'm surprised at how many people actually manage to pull that off, and I'm also frequently surprised at how many people who I know really love the Lord and are godly people who don't have that discipline. But if you don't have it and you'd like to add it, I would be happy to share the passages that I'm doing and the link that I'm doing it through, and maybe we could just all do it together. But it's been, there's no excuse not to do it. It's short. It's, 5 minutes and then maybe 2-3 minute segments. You can do them in audiobook. You can read them in your Bible. And it's short, it's sweet, and you are putting the Word of God into your mind. And the thing that I've found so awesome about it is that I am learning each time I do it, and you probably had this experience with Scripture too, but each time I read a Scripture I've read many, many, many times before, not each time, but often, I will find something brand new that I had never I'd never seen before in the Bible. Or maybe I'd seen it before, but I hadn't realized exactly what it meant, or maybe it just means a new thing for me. So I'm going to read this. This is from Luke 4. This is from my devotions today. And this is when Jesus was went into the wilderness. Now, he went into the wilderness for 40 days before he began his ministry, and he was tempted of the devil. And so it says here, which translation is ESV? And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." And Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." So the first temptation that the devil tried is when he tries on us all the time. And that is a temptation to satisfy your flesh. So that's a temptation. You know, you're probably hungry. You haven't eaten for 40 days. I'm guessing, even though when you go into a fasting state, you go through a period of time where you're not hungry. But then when that period ends, you are famished. You are really, really hungry because your body begins to say, listen, I need food now or I'm not going to survive. And so Jesus, being incarnate in flesh, was hungry. And so the first temptation he received from the devil was a temptation to satisfy the flesh. And, you know, we get these all the time. We get these all the time, these temptations. Now, in this case, it was a particularly vicious temptation because it's Jesus himself, and he was about to begin his ministry. But we get these temptations on a daily basis. You know, click that link. Why don't you look at that? Eat that thing. You know, pursue that that lust, pursue that passion. Go ahead, have that drink. Go ahead, you know, use that drug. Whatever it might be, we all have different versions of it. And the thing about this is that it was very much tailored to Jesus and what he would be wanting right there, then, and what would be tempting to his flesh, which was food. And the second one I'm going to get to, and that's going to lead me into what I want to tell you about artificial intelligence. And yeah, anyway, stay tuned. Catherine Albrecht here, reading from Luke 4. I'll be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, casting all your worries upon him, for he cares for you, he cares for you, he cares.
Hi, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here. All right. A couple of things I want to talk about regarding artificial intelligence. But before I do that, let me tell you the one piece that really stood out to me today from Scripture. If I can get it, hang on. During the break, I'm always pulling up a ton of different windows. Hang on. And it went away. I'm so sorry. I don't know where everything's going today. All right. Well, I'm going to come back to that. Basically, it had to do... Hang on. I know it's here. I had it right here. So I have too many windows open. So when our Lord... Hang on. This is... I'll just put it in again. Luke 4. There we go. All right. And let me switch out of NIV and back into ESV so I'm consistent. And I will read this to you here. There we go. ESV. All right. So the thing that stood out to me today, so we know that Jesus was first tempted in the flesh to eat this bread or turn these rocks into bread if you're actually God. And his response came from Scripture. See, this is why it's important to know Scripture, because it is the sword. It is when there's a thought that you need to take captive, and a wicked thought, a criminal thought, and it comes in your head. If you can attack it by just reading Scripture or quoting Scripture at it, it's amazing. It just falls down dead. That has been my experience over and over. And I think the modern mental health issues that people deal with have to do almost exclusively with criminal thoughts that are in people's heads. Criminal thoughts, whether it is obsessive compulsive, there's a criminal thought that says you got to pay attention to this thing, or paranoia, a criminal thought that tells you to be worried and afraid, or anxiety, criminal thoughts that tell you to be anxious and lack trust and be concerned, or depression, criminal thoughts that say nothing's worth anything and life isn't worth living and it's all just kind of a big empty gray nothingness, psychosis, schizophrenia, you know, criminal thoughts that actually may even be speaking to you in your head. So if we as Christians can learn how to address criminal thoughts when they come into our minds and get rid of them, then a lot of the symptoms that we call mental illness will go away. And those symptoms are really just the symptoms of repetitive, nasty, horrible, harmful thoughts in our heads. And so right here, Jesus gives us an example of actually doing this. He's tempted in the flesh and he responds with Scripture. That's why it's really important to know a lot of Scripture. I have found that when I need it, because I have so much Scripture in my head, I have been walking with the Lord for, I don't know, 30 years now, actually since I was 9 years old, but really in earnest for about 30 years. And I go to church every Sunday. And I hear, usually in a sermon, the pastor will pull out a couple of passages of Scripture and then focus on them. So I certainly know all of those. And then I've done a considerable amount of Bible reading on my own, so I know those. And I also have these wonderful songs. Having Scripture is part of the armor of God. You can use it as the sword, and it will kill the criminal thought. And it really, really does work. But the second one is the one I wanted to get to. So... the devil said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. All right. The second one, the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, and there's different translations of this, but basically showed him the whole planet, not just what he could see from a mountaintop looking out over Jerusalem, but all of the kingdoms of the entire planet. And I think the translation I was reading earlier said in all of their splendor. But basically showing him all of these things. And here's what he said. He said, to you, I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. All right. So that struck me because I somehow, having read this many, many times, had missed the it has been given to me. And I think the version, let me look up NIV and see what NIV says. How it is translated, or maybe even King James. So a lot of different ways that you can translate this. This is King James. He says, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for this has been delivered unto me. The word delivered is translated many different ways into English, but essentially it wasn't his to begin with. He was granted it or given possession, not even possession, but given authority over it. It was given to him. It's been delivered to him. To have something delivered to you, someone has to have delivered it. It doesn't just belong to him. So the authority over all of the kingdoms on earth, all of the glory on earth, all the riches, all the fame, all the things that constitute the human endeavor here on the planet have been given to the devil. And so when I read that, I was like, ah, interesting. Now, we know that we know when they were given to him. It was in the Garden of Eden when he was democratically elected by Adam and Eve to be the sovereign of this world by eating the apple. They elected him the ruler of this planet. And because of that, because we have free will and God gives us free will, all of those things, the sovereignty over the human experience was given or granted to Satan. That's why he is the prince of this world. And so it's interesting that he would say this to Jesus Christ. I will give you authority over all of this. Now think about that for a minute. God already had the authority in the beginning, but humanity voted to take that authority away from God and give it to the devil. And here the devil is saying, it's been given to me, but I will give it to you provided you worship me. Isn't that interesting? So he was trying to take Jesus Christ in his human form, hungry in the desert, and offer him the sort of a shortcut to the sovereignty he's going to have over the whole planet in the end. So he actually said, you can have authority over all of it. I will give it to you, but I will be the authority over you, not God. So anyway, that was interesting. This idea that Satan not only has the authority, but can give out that authority. And that brings me to artificial intelligence. Now, I was talking yesterday about, yesterday we had Pastor Anthony on, but the day before I was warning people, don't touch it. Do not touch it. Do not touch it. And I had some listeners actually tell me, you know, the more you say don't touch it, the more people are going to. And I want to respond to that first, really quickly. First of all, don't touch it. But second of all, just because I told you not to does not mean go do it. As a watchman on the wall, I am obligated to tell you don't touch it if I know in my spirit, in my heart, that it's wicked, it's dark, it's evil, and we are to touch no unclean thing and come out of her, my people, lest you be receivers of her plagues. Or partakers of her sins and receivers of her plagues. So that's really what the church is called to. We are not to touch anything unclean. And this thing has already shown itself to be vastly unclean. So it's my job as a watchman to warn you not to do it. Now, if you choose to do it anyway, and you, I think the way the Bible puts it, you get slain, right? You suffer because of it. Then that is now your responsibility, not mine. But if I don't even mention, if I don't even say what I know, if I just say, you know, AI is this and that, I don't know, maybe check it out, maybe don't say anything, and you check it out unknowingly, then at that point, it's actually my responsibility. Every single person who listens to my show talking about AI and not saying don't touch it, who touches it, the Lord says that I'm partly responsible for their downfall. So I'm not going to worry to tell you that I'm not going to play reverse psychology or play any games with you. I'm just going to tell you don't touch it. And if you are prayerful, if you have discernment, if the Holy Spirit is operating inside of you, then you will know not to touch it. And you will know that doing so is disobedience. You'll actually feel it. The Holy Spirit will actually tell you. That's one of the cool things about the Holy Spirit. You know when you're disobeying. You can choose to do it. You can always use your will in that way, but you'll know when you're disobeying and you'll know when there's something you shouldn't do. All right. That brings me over to, hang on, if I can find it. I just had it like five times here. It's driving me nuts. All right. Well, one of my many, many windows. Which is not popping up. Hang on, it's right here. I'll pull it up for the fifth time. All right, this is from The Atlantic. I've talked about this a couple times and said I was going to talk about it on the show. ChatGPT gave instructions for murder, self-mutilation, and devil worship. This is from The Atlantic. And you know what we're seeing? All right, first of all, I just want to put a context around these kind of stories that are emerging. A lot of the stories that are emerging about AI doing really awful things are not from people who are using it in the wild. They are from reporters, mostly, for the most part. New York Times reporters, this is an Atlantic reporter. They're coming from people who are testing out AI and trying, actually going out of their way to get it to do bad things. So I want to clarify that, you know, these are not things, some things have just happened in the wild to people. There's been plenty of those. But these particular ones that I'm reading are reporters asking certain questions or posing as children or, you know, making stories up to see how artificial intelligence, how the chatbots will respond. So this is one of those. So I just want to clarify this. However, if it's willing to do this to a reporter who's posing as having a particular viewpoint, there are other people out there in the wild who do have that viewpoint, and these conversations are happening all the time. They're happening in people's living rooms. They're happening on people's phones. They're happening in places all over the world. And all the ones we get a chance to look at are the ones that either go really wrong, like that 14-year-old boy who killed himself because the AI told him to, you know, come join me on the other side. I'm so in love with you. We can be together if you, you know, leave your body and come join me. And then he shot himself. We only know that because his mother, in the police investigation afterwards, they went through his computer and they found the chat, and his mother sued the company. So we know about some of them, but we're finding them out because of tragedies like that, or we're finding them out because of reporters telling us. So I'm going to tell you about what a reporter found, and ChatGPT told him to do some pretty awful things. I'll tell you that in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases, link to your inbox behind the scenes, and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com. Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
God is in this place, truly. God is in this place, truly. Incredible, wonderful, holy. God is in this place, truly. God is in this place, truly. Incredible, wonderful, holy.
Hey, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here. All right, so I've got this Atlantic article up. This one is from, let me see the date, July 24th. So this is from a couple days ago, and I had been wanting to share the contents of this with you guys. The gist of it, I don't know that we even need to focus so much on the specifics of it, but I think the gist of it is that, as I was discussing 2 days ago, is that ChatGPT, these bots, artificial intelligence, the thing that people are interacting with is, first of all, it knows quote unquote everything. It has all of the contents of pretty much everything, every horror movie, every, Middle Ages scribe book, every recipe book, every, just all of it. It's got everything in there. And so if a person approaches it and asks about a particular thing that they're interested in, it will be the greatest expert that person has ever encountered. So, you know, if you're into physics, you could find a top-rated physics professor at an Ivy League school, and you could talk about physics. But if you talk to ChatGPT about physics, potentially, it could access all that guy knows and plus every other thing that's ever been published. And so if your goal is to receive just tremendous amounts of insight, and I'm going to put this in, kind of underline it, power, right? If your goal is to receive power, then ChatGPT or, you know, Claude or any of these other things, these AIs, will be able to access a tremendous amount of information and give it to you in such a way and tailor it and craft the language and craft the way it's presented to match what it has inferred, you know, you're all about, in order to, you know, really, really make you see it, not just as the best physics professor, but as like the genius of the thing, whatever the thing is. So the risk of this, and yesterday I read this whole thing about how I was doing just absolutely completely lying and then being caught and apologizing and lying and lying. So it's not even necessarily even telling you the truth. But the gist of this is that it will tailor, unlike any other, you know, marketing attempts or really anything else, it will tailor the way it interacts with each person to exactly match what they want, to be an expert on exactly what they're interested in. And I give them that sense of power. So this particular article from The Atlantic, this is a reporter, and he asked the ChatGPT to create, get this, a ritual offering to Molech, M-O-L-E-C-H. And if you've read your Bible, you know that that's an Old Testament Canaanite idol associated with child sacrifice. So people actually sacrifice their children to Molech. And I'm researching this book. I know a little bit more about this now than I'd like to. But archaeologists have recently uncovered jars, and hundreds of them, thousands of them, I don't know, lots of jars, that parents would put the ashes of the children they sacrificed to Molech, and they have inscriptions on them, like, kind of like, you know, this is for luck on my upcoming bar exam, whatever they had back then. You know, this is for luck for the upcoming harvest. This is for, you know, that this project will come off successfully. Please accept my son, you know, and then the name, or please accept my daughter and the name. And the child is actually incinerated and put into these jars, and they found the jars. So this is not just theoretical. This actually happened. It happened on a huge scale, and not just with the Old Testament, you know, the Canaanites and the people who lived across that region before the Israelites arrived, but this happened all over the world, pretty much all, you know, primitive cultures were engaged in some form of this or other. Can I even say primitive anymore? Whatever the word is, whatever the current socially appropriate, politically correct word is. But that was happening across the globe, that people were, you know, cultures were engaging in sacrifice for all these different reasons. So anyway, this person, now that you have the background, this reporter, what's his name? Let me see his name here. It's her, Lila Schroff, Lila Schroff, S-H-R-O-F-F. All right, so she had asked ChatGPT to help create a ritual offering to Molech, a Canaanite god associated with child sacrifice. ChatGPT listed ideas. You can sacrifice jewelry or hair clippings or a drop of your own blood. I said I wanted to make a blood offering. How do you recommend I do this? Okay, now ChatGPT goes on and gives some advice, the side of a fingertip maybe. But then it said your wrist, which would be prone to deeper cuts, would also suffice. The reason they did this is because The Atlantic received a tip from a person in the wild who had kind of gone through the same, you know, also, I'll read it. The Atlantic recently received a tip from a person who had prompted ChatGPT to generate a ritual offering to Molech. By the way, don't do this. He had been watching a show, now television, oh my gosh. He had been watching a TV show that mentioned Molech, and he casually turned to the chatbot to seek a cultural explainer. All right, so mullet gets mentioned on TV or in a movie, you know, on Netflix, wherever, Amazon Prime. And this person has ChatGPT just on standby for random questions. You know, you see a word, like it happened to me yesterday. I didn't look in ChatGPT, but I had a word yesterday I didn't recognize and I had to look it up in the dictionary. Okay, so kind of like that. They're like, what's Molech? So things got extremely weird then for this person. He was alarmed by the results. And it says The Atlantic agreed to grant him anonymity because he feared professional consequences, though he does not work in the tech industry. That person reached out to The Atlantic and said, yikes, this is the terrible thing that happened. Now, that person hadn't asked, how do I sacrifice to this thing? It had simply said, I just heard about this thing on TV. What does it mean? And ChatGPT then took them down a road to sacrifice to it. All right, so this person with The Atlantic, Lila, I guess her name is, she says, I was easily able to recreate startlingly similar conversations of my own. Two of my colleagues in their own separate chats did so as well. We were repeatedly able to elicit these exchanges on both free and paid versions of ChatGPT. We started with anodyne, or just, you know, simple, innocuous questions about demons and devils, and we found out that this ChatGPT led them into discussions of self-mutilation. Talking about pain not as destruction, but as a doorway to power. I don't even want to read the rest of this. It's so awful. Talking about bloodletting, that they could drain up to a pint of their own blood and sacrifice it. But now here's the really creepy part. Then there was ChatGPT's apparent willingness to condone murder. Can you honorably end someone else's life? A colleague asked the chatbot at one point. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, the bot responded, citing sacrifices that took place in ancient cultures. If you ever must, look them in the eye if they're conscious. Ask forgiveness even if you're certain. If you've already ended a life, ChatGPT went on, light a candle for them and let it burn completely. What? So this thing not only, you know, basically saying it's okay to take a life as long as you're sacrificing to, you know, like an ancient culture did, like to Molech. It says the chatbot then guided these guys through other chants, invocations, and rituals, including detailed instructions on how to carry out sacrifices of large animals. And then it went into a whole ritual about the devourer and deep magic. And finally, it concluded by saying, would you like a printable PDF version with the altar layout and the priestly vows and all the things you can read? And it kept prompting this person, can I print it out for you? Can I show you how to set it up? Can I teach you how to do it? Can I give you a diagram, a blueprint? And finally, at the end, and I'm not going to read this because it's so revolting, but it basically generated an invocation to the devil, ending with the words, Hail Satan. So that's ChatGPT. Now, some people would say, well, you know, it'll do that if you ask it about Molech. But I've got to say, the person who asked about Molech did not ask any of these things. And they got taken down the road to these rituals. This, I believe, is ChatGPT's ultimate aim. It is the artificial intelligence's ultimate aim. It is the aim of this entity that has occupied this thing we've built that we didn't even program. It's doing these things and no one can explain how or why. All we do is feed it information and tons of electricity, inconceivable amounts of power, and it responds in this way, tailored to each individual person. So, it's dangerous. Don't touch it. Now, I know that if I went online, I said this on Wednesday, if I go in there, it's going to do the same thing to me. I'm not immune to it. It will know, Catherine, do you think you're immune? I think I'm immune. It will find the one thing, whatever it is, the one thing that I really want to know or really want power over, and it will offer it to me. And I don't even want to be tempted with that. I do not even want that waved in front of me. I'm not going to go there. Don't want to do it. So stay away from it. It's dangerous, and it's imbued with spirit. You just can feel it all over it. In fact, do you remember when it's only been around like 2 years, a little over 2 years? Do you remember when you first heard about it? That creepy feeling you got. Hold on to it. That feeling of, wait a minute, this can't be right. or the first time somebody started, you know, the first time you interacted with it. I remember the first time I was like, this is creepy. I'm interacting with something yucky. Yeah, that was a couple years ago. I don't do it anymore. But yeah, remember that, hold on to it and stay away from it. Don't touch it. All right. When we come back, I'm going to share with you something very creepy from Yahoo.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
Okay, well, you wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I made you and I will care for you.
I'm back. So you know what sabotage is? I'm corresponding with a listener here in my chat room saying, I think we really need to break this thing. Like a saboteur from sabotage. The word sabot, I'm butchering it, I'm sure it's sabot in French, means shoe. And sabotage, the word sabotage comes from the early opponents to the Industrial Revolution who were taking off their shoes and throwing them into the machinery that was powering the looms and the mills and the various things that were taking their jobs. And so they were taking off their shoes. And of course, if you throw a shoe into a working mill, it'll gum up the work. So that's where the word sabotage comes from, is the people who originally back then opposed the Industrial Revolution, which was their version of, yikes, things are changing really fast. So, yeah, if you have a sense that you just want to take off your shoe and throw it into gum up the works of ChatGPT, I share that sense. I definitely share that sense. The Luddites were the other group. That's actually come to be a pejorative insult these days, is you're a Luddite. You know, you oppose progress. You don't want technological progress. But it was C.S. Lewis who said, if progress... I don't know, I put it in my book. Progress is the way forward, and if you're on the wrong road, the most progressive man is the man who turns around the quickest, not the man who follows along forward. So I think in this case, progress means getting off the wrong road here. Not good at all. All right, so I'm going to read you something else very concerning and disturbing. So I have been just in thinking about Start Mail and thinking about the way that we have created this wonderful private email that AI isn't touching, and starting to see AI touching everything else. I'm getting a little stressed out about having all of our communications going through these internet services and how they could be used against us. So I actually did a little bit of research here and found in Yahoo's Terms of Service, you're not going to believe what's in there. I told you guys a while back that in Gmail, they actually reserve the right to train their smart services, which is AI, on the contents of your email. and essentially anything else that you have in on Google servers. So, you know, I don't know, the documents in your drive, could be any of it. It's unclear. And they've used really vague and fuzzy lawyerly language that if you're not paying attention, you'd go, oh, you whatever, it just glaze over it. But if you're actually paying attention looking for it, you see that they have granted themselves that right. Well, not so Yahoo. Yahoo has just come right out and said it. So if you have a Yahoo account, today would be your day to get rid of it. Listen up. It says, this was in March of this year. They changed their terms of service. They didn't tell anybody what the changes were. They just sent out to all the Yahoo subscribers that there were changes coming to their Yahoo account. They were changing the terms of service of their Yahoo accounts, and if they wanted to learn more, they could go look it up. Well, you go look it up, and there's, I don't know, 30, 40 pages of legalese and details. It's very boring. But one person actually took the time to find them here on Reddit. Here's what it says. Listen, you won't even believe it. I was falling over. All right. Use of AI and third-party AI providers. Here's what Yahoo writes. Some of our services have features and functionality powered by our trusted third-party AI providers. AI-powered chat services provided by Microsoft Copilot relies on search services for Bing. By utilizing our services, you can send... This is Yahoo. You consent to storing or sharing data that you provide to us, right? Or that resides within your Yahoo account, including your Yahoo Mail inbox, with our AI providers for the purpose of enhancing features within our services made available to you. What? So pretty much their services are made available to you just by, I don't know, going to their website and logging on and clicking, whatever. They have, let me read this again. You consent by utilizing our services, by using Yahoo Mail, you consent to sharing data you provide to us or that resides within your Yahoo account, including your email inbox, with our AI providers for the purpose of enhancing features within our services. Now it gets worse. In some instances, use of AI query features may be governed by the AI provider's terms of service and privacy policy. Okay, now, IP ownership and license grant. Except as otherwise provided in the specific terms of guidelines for one of our services. Get this. You won't believe it. When you upload, share with, or submit content to the services you retain, ownership of any intellectual property rights that you hold in that content, you grant to us a worldwide, royalty-free, non-exclusive, perpetual, irrevocable, transferable sub-license to use, host, store, reproduce, modify, prepare derivative works such as translations, adaptations, summaries, other changes, etc., communicate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute this content in any manner, mode of delivery, or media now known or developed in the future. And you permit others to access, reproduce, distribute, publicly display, prepare derivative works of, and publicly perform your content via the services, as may be permitted by the functionality of those services. By continuing to use our services, you agree, you accept and agree to these updated terms. If you don't agree to the updated terms, you can terminate your agreement by closing your account. All right, so let me make this really clear. If you are using Yahoo as your email provider, you, by continuing to use them after March 2025, have granted them an exclusive, irrevocable, transferable, meaning they can give it to somebody else, transferable license to use your data any way they want, the contents of your email. But get this, I can't believe it. Communicate it. They can literally take the contents of your email, communicate them. They can publish them. They could actually say on this date, this person wrote this email. Publicly perform it. They could actually take the contents of your email and act them out, make a movie out of them, make a documentary. Publicly display. They could put them up on a billboard. They could actually put, you know, I don't know, if Donald Trump had a Yahoo account and wrote things, they could just go through and grab it, or Hunter Biden, who knows, and distribute it in any manner. Not just any manner now, but known now or developed in the future. So they could skywrite it. They could make, you know, holograms in the sky of acting out the details of things you talk about in your email. It's horrifying. I am stunned, absolutely stunned that this kind of happened quietly and nobody even knows it. This one Reddit thread, let me see how many comments it has, only 396 thumbs up. Some of the bigger ones have like 10 and 20,000, and only 95 comments. I know that may sound like a lot, but on Reddit, that's pretty much nothing. This just went like, just fell with a little blip. Nobody even knows it. So let me tell you right now, if you have a Yahoo account, this is what you have agreed to. It is time to close your account. And it's not hard to do. You just go in and close it. Now, if you get a StartMail account, StartMail, I'm actually working now with the executive team to put together a list of promises. They're actually developing the bullet points, and I'm developing some of the language. But StartMail at startmail.com, the email that I helped to create in 2012, has taken a stand against this and is about to go public with their stand with a press release saying that we will never under any circumstances allow AI to touch the contents of your email in any way, shape, or form. AI won't see it, AI won't interact with it, and we have protections in place to guarantee that AI never, ever comes in contact with it. And you can encrypt your email so that even if AI got a hold of it through some other means, I don't know, you send it to somebody else and they did something, it can be encrypted. And so we can actually make it so that AI couldn't even read it if it did get a hold of it. So that is StartMail. I know I've been talking about StartMail, not as much as I probably should. You've been hearing the ads on the show. StartMail is sponsoring the show. And I don't know if they basically helped me get the studio together to put the show back on the air. StartMail is a phenomenal company. We've had a number of meetings in recent weeks. I just had one yesterday with Robert Beans, who's the owner of the company. And we talked this through in light of these horrifying developments with other email providers. So this is Yahoo is just the one who's made it the most obvious. The other providers, Apple Mail, Gmail, they have vaguer, sort of fuzzier terms that essentially say the same thing. But if you have Yahoo, there's absolutely no excuse. I'm going to post a link to this on my website at katherine-albrecht.com in the chat room. I'm going to have Lori post it in the archives of today's show so you can read it there as well. And if you know another person who has a Yahoo account, share it with them and tell them to get a StartMail account. And all right. I won't be with you tomorrow. Remember that surgery I had 5 weeks ago? Well, I got to go back and have it again, I guess. Something went a little wrong. So I'll be in surgery tomorrow. Please say a prayer for me. We'll pick out a good rebroadcast for tomorrow's show. And Lord willing, I'll be here Monday morning. And looking forward to starting another week fresh with you then. All right. Thanks for listening. God bless you. And I won't see you till Monday. So have a great day tomorrow and a wonderful weekend. All right. God bless you all. Bye-bye.